The following is a Poppy Chulo Radio original program.
Let's go.
Get up close and personal with some of your favorite male porn stars on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Created by Poppy Chulo, One-on-One showcases exclusive interviews with the adult industry's most popular male performers. Here's your host, Poppy Chulo.
Welcome to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Today is Monday, January 29th, 2024. Listeners, please welcome European adult star on the rise, Emmanuel Torquemada. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Poppy. Very nice. Very nice being on your show, buddy.
It is wonderful to have you on. You have been on fire, my friend. So I'm super excited to have you on to chat with you about all of this great work that you have been doing. You've been setting Europe ablaze.
Oh, whoa. And hopefully the whole world in a few years.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about that. We are going to discuss that because I'm sure you have bigger plans than just conquering Europe.
Yeah, I mean, the Euro scene is definitely quite busy and interesting. And we do get some American performers from time to time. But it seems like the guys in the U.S. are getting paid a bit more, quite a bit, actually. And the guys and the girls, I mean. But I don't know. I haven't, you know, the grass always looks greener from the other side, but I know there's also many ways to bite more than you could chew, and it happened to quite a few guys that tried to move to the U.S.
That is true. No, yeah, you're right about that. All right, so let's dive deep into this interview, and typically I like to start these interviews off by getting some unique stats out the way. So first up is, what's your height and weight?
All right. That's a thorny issue because I just stepped on the scale and I was crazy heavy. I'm 100 kilograms, which is 220 pounds, I think. Something like this. Yes, it's definitely 220 pounds. And, I'm a little over 6 foot. Yeah, I will say 6.5 inch. That's how I was measured on my last trip to the doctor.
What's your ethnic background?
I'm half French, like fully French. And the other half, how do you say that? Bedouin, like from the desert. But it's not really Northern Africa. It's a bit more complicated than that. But yeah, you do find some people in the middle of the desert that, they're not exactly, or let's say Berbers, you know, they look like Arabs pretty much. So in the U.S., it will be difficult to make the difference, but there is a difference. But anyway, I'm half European and half, I will say, not exactly Middle Eastern, but you get the points.
What's your zodiac sign?
Gemini.
And I know this because we are birthday twins.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the first thing I noticed about your profile.
Yes, very awesome. It's a rare thing for me to meet somebody that shares my birthday, so it's very nice to meet another June 16th.
Who else is from June the 16th? Wasn't Tupac Shakur?
Tupac Shakur, yes. I think that's he's the most famous.
Lorenzo Viota is from the 15th, so we usually party on the same night.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome. Yeah.
And actually, I think I was born on the 16th at midnight, like right after midnight. And in my family, there's a lot of people that were born on the 15th, so I don't know.
And how old are you?
I'm 37 right now, yeah. 37 as we speak.
Let's get to know a bit about the man behind the performer. Who is Emmanuel Torquemada?
Well, I don't know if that's a question for me to answer. It's really difficult to be honest about yourself. But I'm, as you said on the intro, I'm newcomer in the porn industry, and I think I'm improving and rising quite fast, and loving every minute of it, because my motivation to get in this game was, I mean, I have a lot of sexual energy for sure, and I want to use it in a good, positive way. I mean, for the first time ever, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not getting fired out of a job because I was fucking too much. At least, you know, since I've been doing porn, I feel like I am where I belong in the universe. This is when I'm on a set these days, I feel like this is where I should be. And when you turn 37, this is what we were talking about, age. I think, you know, in your late 30s, it is when you know where, if you should be where you are. You see what I mean? Some people, they feel out of place in their everyday life. And it's, I think, the late 30s, it is when it is the most cruel, when it's the case. And I'm blessed to be enjoying what I'm doing right now, and to make it a viable lifestyle.
Where are you originally from?
I grew up in the south of France.
Very nice. All right. Share with me and the listeners what life was like growing up for you. What was young Emmanuel like?
Well, same. It's a bit of... it's difficult to reflect. I mean, it will take much more than a 1 hour podcast to fully reflect on this. But the way I see it, growing up, like many people, you're pretty naive with your expectations of the adult life and what growing up is going to be like. And then when you, I mean, I was quite obviously, like most kids, most healthy kids tend to be, I was quite enthusiastic about growing up and discovering the world. And then when you're a young adult, you realize things are a lot tougher than they were supposed, than you were expecting them to be. And then you could become negative. But yeah, I remember growing up, of course, that's the one thing that most kids should be. I was quite naive, and I was quite, I was expecting a lot from the future. And then as a young adult, I realized that everything seemed like all the opportunities, all the things you were dreaming about, they seemed locked. They seemed like impossible to attain. But then I still find my ways around those, you know, hurdles and problems, and I still enjoyed what was coming after. But yeah, if you were talking about the childhood, I remember it. I remember being quite quite naive. But I was a very early bloomer with everything. You know, nowadays it's very fashionable to say that kids are especially gifted. Or I won't say that I was, but one thing for sure, I grew up very fast mentally and physically, and I was really in advance with compared to the rest of the kids. Then I don't think I went further than I was supposed to, but yeah, growing up, like I said, like physically, for example, in my early teens, I was pretty much the way I had pretty much the looks that I have today, and this was another thing about growing up.
You mentioned the south of France. I mean, we have to talk about, sort of in a very superficial way, I mean, French cuisine is so revered around the world. You know, French foods, French pastries. I would assume you ate very well growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I've been traveling a bit, and I realize it's true. In France, we really value healthy eating a bit more than in other parts of the world. I mean, I've lived in England, in Germany, where else? In Budapest, I can say that I've lived in Budapest now. And whenever you go to a supermarket in Budapest or in England, for example, maybe less in England, but in Budapest, it's what I feel. The junk food will be half of the supermarket, and then the other half will be, food marketed as healthy, you know, like protein shakes, stuff like that. There's a big part of the supermarket that will be dedicated to this. When you're in France, most of the supermarket is about whole food that you cook, and which by the way is not something I do now. I in my everyday life, food is pretty much fuel, and I just grab whatever will be easy to cook and will save me time. But yeah, in France, it's definitely a way of life that values good, healthy food and a good lifestyle. They like to try to enjoy life.
Absolutely, bon vivant.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a saying in every language about life in France. I think in German they have like a saying, like God in living like God in France. You know, it's true. It's definitely true. When I travel, especially in the south of France, because France is a small country, but it is quite diverse. But whenever I travel, I feel, and when I'm back to France, I realize that this is where I see the least overweight people, the least alcoholics as well. I'm not saying everybody's perfect, of course, but I don't know. I've never been to the States. You live in Florida, right?
Correct, yes.
In the States, which I have never visited, it seems to me that the people that can afford a healthy lifestyle, the wealthy people, will tend to be quite healthy looking. And then on the other side, in the poor areas, then most people tend to be obese. And they say that there's a big gap, for example, between Miami and Orlando, which are both in Florida. And you can clearly see right away that it's about your social class in the US. In France, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but in France, most people, even the working class people, the blue collar people, they will try to stay healthy.
No, you're right. And also, I mean, if we're going to be fully honest about the food here in the U.S., I mean, it is pumped with, I'm assuming, much more preservatives and that sort of thing than in Europe, period.
Possibly. I have not been to the U.S. yet, but yeah. There's definitely a cult of the healthy lifestyle in France. People don't like to work too much as well. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but when you go to the U.K., for example, people will always have much more in their, like the schedule is much more tight, and they, to cope, they get drunk every weekend like crazy, which is something we don't necessarily do in France. We have much longer holidays, but I'm not saying it's better. It's just different because it does, you know, pose problems as well.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Now, what was going on with your life prior to entering the adult entertainment industry? I know that you had a little, you had a moment with MMA. So if you want to go into that a little bit, what was going on with your life prior to entering porn?
Yeah, MMA. Well, I didn't do anything crazy about it. When I was a teenager, I was, I got into judo, which is the very popular martial art in France. I think Manuel Ferrara is also quite good at judo. And then as soon as MMA came out, like was mainstream in the early 2000s in France, just like in the US, actually, like really mainstream. And then I wanted to try that thing. And I was using my judo dojo, and I was inviting people that were better than that were boxers, people that knew kickboxing. And we were sparring together and exchanging techniques. And then I moved to England for my studies for just 1 year. And that was just, actually, I didn't do MMA seriously for long. But if you want to be good at least in MMA, and I'm sure it's the same story with other sports, it's better to train twice a day for 1 year than to train twice a week for 10 years. And I was training like crazy and preparing fights. And I had actually four fights in the span of 2 years. And then I had like many stupid injuries. I had like one knee that would always pop out. It was like a meniscus the tear that couldn't be seen. And I stopped for a while. And then I came back a little and I started having neck problems. Like I had a neck fusion then. But still, I had four fights. They were my sure dog and I won them all. I also had a kickboxing fight, which I lost in points. And yeah, that's it. That was I really loved MMA, and it was a big disappointment for me not to really chase a pro career. But I was struggling with stupid injuries that were not, you know, that were impossible to treat. And it's been a while, but I still train MMA with my friends that have been that did not stop, and they're just as banged up as I was when I quit. When I quit competing, I mean, and I still train. I still go and train with friends that are like good level guys. I have one of my very good friends in Bellator, and we spar a lot together almost every day when I'm in France.
So in total, how long have you been in the adult industry?
It's difficult to exactly say because I don't know how I can define the professional adult industry, but the first time I, let's say between 1 year and 2 years and a half, because my first shootings were in the summer of 2021. Well, in 2020, I had like a couple shootings for a very amateur production, but it doesn't really count, and I didn't do anything for the next month, but I would say, 1 year and a half as a professional, so to speak, and 2-3 years when I, you know, just started testing the waters.
So let's talk about exactly how you got into the business. How did you get into the adult industry? Where did the idea come from?
All right. I've always wanted to. When I was a student in Germany, like many guys have always wanted to. And when I was a student in Germany, I dated a girl for a short while. She was working in a sex shop. And I'm talking about 2008. and her boss was like a big producer. I think his name was Mike Hunter, big producer from like the 80s. And then I talked to him and he said, nah, give up. It's over. With the days of the internet, professional porn is dead. And so I thought that was it. But then it's a long and crazy story. And it starts with a Tinder date. I was on Tinder and it was 2020, I think. Yes. Or yeah. That was 4 years ago. I was on Tinder and there's a girl, she says she's 18 on Tinder, and I don't care, you know. I like girls of all. I mean, I like if she's 18 or 50. I don't give a shit. The conversation was fun, and I thought let's go. And I didn't see her very well in the pictures, and I end up meeting this girl in town. And when I see the girl, she looks way too young. I don't like it one bit, because I don't like, you know, my type of women are girls that are quite curvy with big boobs, and I'm not into the tiny skinny teenager type, which is the most popular in Budapest, unfortunately. And I see this girl and I'm like, wow, she looks too young. It's creepy. Okay, we're just going to go for a drink and I'll say, tell her goodbye. And she says she's 17 and we're it feels a bit weird for me, but then she's cool. You know, by the way, in France, the age of consent is 15. So everything that happened was legal. She's still kind of cool. And I thought about just dropping her at her place and calling it a day. But then she insisted, it was a residential area, to give me a blowjob in my car. And, you know, I'm a little bit of an exhibitionist, like many porn guys, and I like the danger of it. And yeah, of course, so go ahead, do it, my dear. And then she did, and she put some sort of performance into it. It was unbelievable. And then I thought, okay, let's see this girl another time. But, you know, I got busy, and I was dating other girls. And then a few months later, we text again, and she tells me she's turned 18. And I had this fantasy for a while. I was a bouncer back then, by the way. And I had this fantasy for a while to go to Cap d'Agde. Maybe you've heard about that place. It's a swinger resort in the south of France. And people fuck just anywhere on the beach, for example. They have like those swinger things going on. There's bukkakis. It's fucking insane. It's unbelievable. And I had the fantasy to go. So I go with this girl. I thought she's the girl to go to Cap d'Agde with you. So we go there. She's 18, so we can get inside the nudist resort, because it's a nudist place at first. And we go there, and as soon as we go on the beach, she turns into a complete nymphomaniac slut, and I fuck her in front of everybody. And I was not a porn guy back then, by then, but we put on a crazy show. And I realized people like the contrast. You know, I'm a pretty big guy. She was tiny. So I was fucking her like standing, doing crazy positions. And we had like people around us applauding. And when we were done, some guy came to me and said, I know an amateur producer in France. You should do porn. And he gave me the number. And that's it. That's how I got into some amateur shootings in France. And it wasn't really... I'll get back to the amateur scene of France later on, but it went okay. But I did a few shootings, and I thought it was going to be enough. And but then I started, hanging out with some girls that did amateur content with me, and we were making content together, and from one girl to the other, I ended up shooting some content in Spain because I loved it, and I became friends with the agents of one of the girls I was making content with, and he got me into professional porn. My friend David El Moreno. A Spanish guy, of course. And then that's it. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, so my follow-up question for you is, prior to that moment when someone at the resort was like, I know somebody, you should do porn, had porn ever crossed your mind? Was it something, you know, that you ever thought, maybe this was something that I will try one day?
Of course. I thought about it, but I thought it was something I thought it was like a castle you do not get into that easily. And that's part of the truth. That's partly true. But I thought, yeah, I would love to. But it's like, I'd like many other things, of course. And porn to me seemed like an impossible, like a pipe dream to chase. So I didn't think... It's you know, in with many opportunities, it's about being at the right place at the right time, and it was the case for porn as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It seriously was the right place, right time for you. Now, yeah. Let's talk about your name as a performer. How did you come up with your professional name, your performer name?
That's a funny story. I was in Spain, and I was signing papers, and I had no idea what I was doing. And my friend David say, right, because my name on my papers is Yves Emmanuel, which is long. And in Spain, everybody called me Emmanuel. So then I thought it made sense to use Emmanuel. And I thought about using a name, and I had like, you know, like it was so stupid. I had like a few seconds to think, and I thought about using maybe, I don't know if you've seen the movie Blue Velvet, but I love Blue Velvet. I'm crazy with Blue Velvet. And I thought about using the name Frank Booth, one of the characters in Blue Velvet, who's like a very impressive, depraved character. But we made a quick search, and apparently there's already a guy with this name on IAFD or some of that database. So I thought, let's use Emmanuel. And I was in Spain, and the name Torquemada, as a joke, came to me because Torquemada, it's actually pretty crazy. He's the guy behind the Spanish Inquisition. And I thought it was like, you know, funny in a way that it is over the top because it is the Catholic Inquisition. And it's funny to be named after like a Catholic extremist as a porn guy. And also it has some BDSM vibe, you know, and it just sounds good. It just sounds good. The sound is elegant, I believe. So yeah, Torquemada was Torquemada, but it was decided in a matter of seconds. And then that's it. You start making the social media accounts, and then people call you like this, and you're done. You're Torquemada, the Spanish Inquisition.
And that you are, my friend, that you are.
Exactly. It's just like a family name, or it's my name now. It's over. I'm Torquemada.
Exactly. Now let's talk about your first time on set. What was that experience like for you? If you want to talk about your first time in France and then your first time on a much more professional set and contrast the differences, we can do that.
Yes, because everything is so different. It's difficult to say. And you don't know where to put your first time on set. The really amateur stuff is a little different. But yeah, on set, the first time I was there, I got overexcited. I realized it was for me. Maybe I'm a little bit of an exhibitionist as well. And it was like, you know, the dream was coming true, because it was as if I had been, you know, you're jerking off to the screen and all of a sudden this becomes real. Like it's like the rubbing the lamp of the genius in some Aladdin cartoon, you know, it doesn't make sense. And then you're here and it feels so unreal. And I was so turned on because the situation was a big, big turn on. But then my amateur shoots were so easy. It was made in a very friendly atmosphere. And I love amateur porn for this reason. But it also has downsides. But yeah, my first few shoots, I have very fond memories. I look at them nowadays and I realize it was not quality porn. Like the positions I was doing, this is not the stuff you do in professional porn. We see a lot of stuff that is labeled as amateur, but the guys that do it are professionals. If you want to do something that is enjoyable to watch, you have to do uncomfortable positions as well. My friend that helped me with professional porn, David Moreno, one of the few things he told me at first was porn is the art of making the uncomfortable look comfortable, and it is partly the truth. But yeah, my first few shootings, I was so excited, really. It was like discovering a whole new world and a whole new sexuality as well. I will always, but I still try to keep that that mindset. But of course, you will never, in everything you discover in life, you cannot chase the excitement of the first few times, because you never get exactly the same thing.
You are right about that. Yeah, absolutely. What do you enjoy most about starring in porn scenes?
Well, I just like the atmosphere. It's very difficult to describe, but I just like the atmosphere of the set. You know, everything is about rituals. You know, the boxing gym, it's about the sound of the guys jumping rope, beating the bag, and on the set, it's also the rituals. You see the guys arranging the lights, the girl in the doing her makeup, and I just like all the rituals. I just like the atmosphere in general. It's just a really good place to be. And, well, you know, sometimes the atmosphere can be shitty. It does happen. But I just enjoy the overall, the atmosphere and the culture around it. And it's what I enjoy, really. I really, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I feel this is where I belong in the universe.
What I want to do with you now is to break down a porn scene with you. So in a scene, when you're on set, when you're at a porn shoot, what turns you on the most and what turns you off the most?
Whoa, what turns me on the most? It's a... It depends. Oh, I don't like to give such a boring answer, but it depends on the girl. It depends on the situation. But I will try to reply in general. Obviously, just like in any sex situation, even though it is scripted, of course it is scripted. But I like the moment when you realize. I like the comedy, of course. I like the comedy because the comedy feels like flirting to me. And my favorite moment is when you realize that the sex is going to take place. And it can be just a sentence. It can be the moment when you just pull down the pants of the girl. And I think it's Churchill that said the best moment in sex, the best moment in sex is when you are climbing the stairs. It's exactly the same thing. It's when you realize that this is gonna, you know, turn into a porn scene. The moment when the promise is realized, it's not a sexual act. It is that moment for me. The moment I like, okay, of course I love what I'm doing, but sometimes the sets can be a bit tiring and you feel like, okay, you enjoy the sex, but it's time. It's funny. You want to go home at the same time. The moment of the orgasm, the moment of the cum shot, because in porn, you finish the scene with a cum shot most of the time. It's a great moment because it's like, you know, ringing the bell at school. It's like, okay, now it's time to go. And yeah, come on, shoot your load. I love that moment as well. And the things that I don't like much... at the beginning I was struggling a little bit with the pictures. Some guys love taking the hardcore pictures. At the beginning I didn't like it much, but I started to, you know, it grew. I've improved with that, and I'm starting to enjoy taking the pictures during the porn set. It's a nice break if you do it along the scene, and it's nice to turn yourself on with the girl now. I gotta figure out something I don't like about the shoots. I may not like a few situations here and there, but I cannot think of anything that is common to all scenes, you know. I really can't. No, I can't. And sometimes there's stuff you don't like. Like I was talking about the pictures, but now I like the pictures. When I started, I was quite inexperienced with threesomes, like one guy, two girls, boy, girl, girl. I was like, what the fuck am I doing with the second one? How am I supposed to interact? And it's because I was inexperienced and I didn't like to do those scenes. But now I actually just did one. I really enjoy as well. So... I don't know. It's difficult for me to tell you about something that turns me off on a set. Of course, yeah. Some very uncomfortable positions. They can be, they're a pain in the ass, but it's part of the job. Like, like the director wants the missionary to be on X part of the bed, and it sucks to be there. Yeah. I struggled with it in MMA as well. I'm not the most flexible guy, and if I'm on my knees for like 10 minutes straight, my ankles will feel like shit. And yeah, some guys struggle less than me with uncomfortable position. I think I should take up yoga. But no, sorry, I didn't understand. I didn't really answer your question about the things I don't like, because I do have shitty moments, but they're quite rare, and they're not. I mean, it's not. Those are not things that are supposed to take place.
In a scene, which do you enjoy the most, oral, vag, or anal?
Oh, right. I don't want to lose jobs, but I will say something that will go against the work input. Okay, I prefer vaginal sex so much more than anal sex. I think anal sex sells much more for many reasons. It's because it's something many guys don't get that easily. But now with the experience, I mean, at the beginning, I was very excited about anal sex. And to be honest, now I prefer the pussy much more. It's the cock is meant for the pussy, and it's just more comfortable. So I will say overall, it depends. I like at the beginning, it's really, but yeah, oral and vaginal, but I mean, I'm not saying that I hate anal sex. I don't, of course, but let's be frank. I'm a little tired of anal sex. It's in every single scene, at least here in Central Europe. So, yeah, pussy all the way.
In a scene, do you enjoy being rimmed?
Yeah, but if it's too long, it's a bit boring. A little is fine.
In a scene, what's your favorite sexual position to perform for the camera? And is it the same as your favorite position off camera?
Oh, absolutely not. It's a very interesting subject. Off camera, I will prefer the missionary. But with missionary, if you do it like you do it in your private life, you hide the girls. You hide the girl. And on camera, I wouldn't say it's the worst position, but it's much less enjoyable than in real life. So there's a big, big discrepancy like between the two. Private life, I mean, missionary is awesome in private life, and in porn, it can be uncomfortable sometimes. Like if you're on the floor, for example, it's really uncomfortable, missionary for porn. My favorite position in private life will be dog. I discovered the spoon thanks to porn. I was struggling on my first set with the spoon, and my friend David told me it's the easiest position there is. Come on. And yeah, now I do spoon in private life thanks to porn. Almost the same. You don't have to spread the legs of the girl too much, but it's the same. And the best, I don't know. Yeah, in porn, my favorite position, I don't know. I'm used to all of them now, really. I like them all. I like them all. There's not one position that I... Oh, I told you about the missionary being awesome in private life and not so awesome in porn. I'm going to tell you about a position that is better in porn than in private life. Cowgirl. Because in cowgirl, in private life, the girls will always stand upright and make sure the dick goes as deep as possible. And but in porn you hide the dicks and it's not that it doesn't feel that good on the dick. It's less stimulating. In porn they have to lean forward to show the penetration, and so then it just feels much better. So in porn I prefer a cowgirl in porn than in private life. Cowgirl is very easy in porn. It's very, very easy. You have to, it depends on who you're shooting with, but it's one of the easiest positions.
And of course, we know how a scene ends with the money shot, the pop shot, the cum shot. In a scene, where's your favorite place to shoot your load?
Well, it depends on the girl. If she has a body part that you want to highlight, if she has like great tits, it can be cool to shoot on the tits. But yes, in 95% of the scenes, it's in the mouth, and it's very satisfying if the girl shows that she likes it as well. I know some do, some don't, but definitely the mop, yes, it's very, very satisfying.
How would you describe your fuck style? How would you describe your style of fucking, your performance style?
I like to, you know, I'm still building up my style and learning new things and adapting. And I will say, first of all, it depends who you're working for. Some companies, they want things that are completely different. Like if you do X position for X guy, he will want some details that another one will not like. And I would say that I'm genuine. When whatever I do, I do it with real. It comes from a place of real sex drive, and I want it to show on the video. I don't really. I mean, the hardcore spectacular stuff is fine for me. But it's not what I really like. I mean, like the standing doubles, and it's what the fans want to see in with many labels. But I don't particularly. I know some guys are really good at this and enjoy it. But I would like to say I would like to be seen as a guy who does natural stuff, like that looks genuine, natural, and sincere.
Something that you alluded to that I really want to give you the chance to sort of express a little bit more about, and something that I genuinely enjoy asking performers about, is the fact that clearly when you are performing, when you're in a scene, when you're putting on a performance for the camera, you are not having traditional sex, you know, as in what you would have in your bedroom. You're doing what is officially called as opening up for the camera, because at the end of the day, you have to put on a performance so that the viewers, so that we can see what we want to see. You know, we want to see the penetration. We want to see this and that or the other. So at times, as you were alluding to, you do have to take on what would be considered traditional positions, but doing them in an untraditional way so that everything that the camera needs to capture needs to be seen. So I want to get your take on, as a performer, opening up for the camera, how uncomfortable it can be in getting in what would be a traditional position, but having to do it in such a way that the camera can see everything that it needs to see.
You know, I cannot have a straight answer to this, because sometimes it feels just like at home and it goes smooth and the girl is opening up, you know, the girl is on, you're doing missionary and the girl is on her elbow, like she's supposed to be turning to the camera, and you can tell that she's comfortable and you are as well. So it's difficult to give you a straight answer, because sometimes it is not a problem at all. And sometimes I'm fucking in private life and I'm like, okay, we could definitely see something here. And at the end of the process of becoming a professional porn performer, you train yourself to do things and they become natural as well. So, but on some days it can be a little bit of a pain in the ass. Like, it can be fun as well. Uncomfortable doesn't mean that it is hell. Like, I often shoot in a bathtub or jacuzzi and it's all slippery, but we're having a good time. We're trying our best to put on a nice position. And sometimes we find angles in which we are both enjoying the fucking. So it's difficult for me to give a straight answer. Sometimes it's a pain in the ass. Sometimes, yes, I am struggling to open to the camera. The sofa is very uncomfortable. And it can be sometimes a pain in the ass to do a position for 2 or 3 minutes straight. Yes. Yes, but it's not systematic either. It's difficult to give you a straight answer.
The other thing that I want to discuss with you that is very prevalent in European porn, I mean, it does happen here in the U.S. as well, but there seem to be many more productions that almost specialize in this in the European market, is double vaginal, double anal, and that sort of thing. So as a performer, I just want to get your take on what is it like to shoot those types of scenes, you know, because you have to almost, you know, find the perfect rhythm with your co-performer, with the other, you know, male performer in the scene. So how difficult were those to do? And yeah, just your take on doing those types of scenes.
Sure, that's a very long that's a subject I could develop for a long time. How the European scene is obsessed with double penetration, anal and double penetration. There's many reasons. It's a long story. It's fascinating the cultural differences that you can see through porn through different countries, but. Definitely, this is what people like to say. At least the Euro guys like me like to brag about Europorn being technically more demanding. This is what I hear a lot, especially because of the double or triple penetration sometimes.
No, you are right about that. Yeah, they're doing a lot more triple nowadays.
Yeah, you know, I don't turn down that type of work, but I'd rather do something else, to be honest. But I'm one of the Euro guys, and I've done that kind of stuff, so I can do it. So I think it's a good school. When you can do that stuff, then everything is easy. But it takes time to learn. Yeah. You take a new guy and you ask him to do just a regular doggy style, but to put the girl in such a way that the penetration will be fully visible right in the light, he will struggle. Can you imagine that with a double penetration? It's easy on paper, but it's not. I give you the ideas, then it's doesn't seem that hard. But when you're in there, it takes time. It takes the time to adjust and to make it a habit. Finding your rhythm, to be honest, the bottom guy in a double penetration rarely can move much. Sometimes it depends. As long as you can stay in the girl's hole and move a little and just make sure that she's stable with the other guy on top, That's already good. And the guy on top, you're just trying to make it look nice movement, but you don't want the whole thing to fall apart either. So when you do doubles, it's a bit technical. It's doubles or triples, I say triples, they're not that frequent, but you get the idea. And to be honest, it's something I've discovered as a performer, because when I was watching porn as an enthusiast, a porn enthusiast, I would never watch that kind of stuff. You see too much too many male bodies. And a double blowjob is okay. It's different because it leaves the girl's body, most of the girl's body visible, but no, I've never watched DP, and I've discovered it with porn, and it's been, the first few DPs were a bit difficult, but now it's just like just another day at the office.
So far, in the time that you have been in the industry, who have been some of your most favorite performers to work with? Now, I'm not necessarily looking for like top three, top five, or anything like that. I just want to get your take on who have been some of your favorites. Who are names that are popping into your mind as, you know what, that was a good scene?
You mean guys I enjoy working with, like sharing the set with?
No, just performers in general. It could be, female performers. It could be your co-male performers. Just, you know, favorite people to work with.
All right. You know, trouble and... I've rarely worked with a girl more than a few times. I'm going to tell you about a girl from France. She doesn't work that often, but she still gets good jobs. She's going to the States soon. I think she's going to, I just think she's going to go there for some collabs, not for some pro work. But there's a girl called Vittoria Divine. She's she's fire. When she's on set, she's fire. It's insane. She's got an insane amount of sexual energy, and you can feel it. And she just fills the room with it. And yeah, I love working with her. Many girls. Recently, I worked with a girl from the USA, Sophia Locke. Maybe, yeah, she's quite famous in the States, I believe. She, same thing. She brings, she's like honestly here to get fucked. And you can tell, and it's a crazy turn on when you, when you're showing the set with her. But I've only shot with her once. It's different. I have so many names of girls that have been a pleasure to work with. Many names. It's about them wanting to be there, because let's be honest, some girls in the industry, even at the pro level, they can just be. Maybe they enjoyed it 5 years ago and they're just collecting money, or, you know, you can tell it's, I remember really my first few sets, it was, they were collabs when I started in Spain. I was crazy with excitement shooting with, Katrina Moreno, Blondie Fesser, you know, they were famous, and I was like just a guy starting, and they were so nice and humble to me. Those are the people that I will always remember, because they welcomed me in this industry. But yeah, the girls, I have so many. Most of the experiences have been good, but I have some names like, I gave you the names that pop first. And with the guys, I like to work with guys that will, have a team spirit, basically, or they have like a crazy amount of experience. Like they can, they have things to show, and they have details to share, stories as well. You know, it's good to be with the old timers. I like being, maybe, you know, David Perry, he could be on your podcast. Maybe he speaks good English.
Oh, legend. Yes. I've never interviewed him before, but he is a legend.
David, he's a technical expert. It's like being with, when we were talking about MMA, it's like training with a BJJ super black belt. Like he sees details that I could not think about. Like, and he can solve a problem. Like, because he's just so, he's the most technical and experienced guy I know. So it's really awesome to share the set with him.
Here in the United States, we love to use the power of manifestation. I don't know if that's a big thing in Europe, but when I say that, when I use that phrase, I mean, you know, sort of putting the energy out into the universe and hoping that the universe responds in a positive way. So what I want to do with you right now is using that power of manifestation. Who have you not worked with yet that you would love to do a scene with? Who's on your wish list?
I have many. That's the problem of being a Euro performer. I have been fantasizing about many girls that I love to watch, even especially with their crazy energy. But they're in the United States, so it's difficult for me to make that happen. And I know, you know, that's the problem of the industry. Many of the girls, when they become famous enough, they just rely on their platforms, OnlyFans, Pornhub, whatever, and they don't want to work anymore. But in the US, for example, I was crazy for many years about Ashley Adams. I'm crazy about this woman. But I think she only does OnlyFans now. I'm crazy about that Tunisian girl, Arabelle Raphael. She's walking sex. She's insane. Same thing. She brings fire on the set, and she's exactly the body type of women that I like. But I know she will never come to Europe because the money is not good enough. She actually told me on an Instagram live, "Who do I want to work with in Europe?" I want to work with Josephine Jackson. Actually, it's going to happen at some point, I think. We have so many friends in common. Josephine Jackson, she's got a body that makes me crazy. And I missed by a tiny, I mean, I was unlucky that day, but I would love to shoot with a woman from Mexico. I saw her live. She's unreal. She's like a living sculpture. Yorgelis Carrillo. So yeah, if I shoot with only one of the women I've just mentioned, yeah, I mean, everything has been a blessing and such a fun ride. But if I get one of those to share a set with me in the next few years, it will be amazing.
Are there any individuals in the industry that you look up to? Are there any performers or even behind the scenes people that inspire you with what you are trying to do with your slice of the industry?
Oh, I started in the industry my first trip in Budapest, I met Pierre Woodman. It was in 2023. Yeah. The summer 2023, right? Or 2022. No, summer 2022. And Pierre Woodman, he's somebody with incredible work ethic. He's been through some fantastic, you know, he's got some crazy stories. He went through some of the best years of porn. So yeah, definitely Pierre Woodman is somebody I look up to. So who else? There's plenty of guys. I like very much we talked about David Perry, of course. The guys like that generation of French guy, like Ian Scott, he was also able to do traditional movies. He's had quite the life, and he's somebody I enjoy sharing time with as well. And obviously, yeah, those guys are like big brother figures. You look up to them. It's natural.
Now it's time for the big question, a question that I'm sure a lot of your fans and supporters might be curious to know. How much is Emmanuel packing? How big are you?
I'm going to tell you, I'm very confident and very secure about it. I've never measured it. People don't trust me. I've never done it because I never saw the interest. I tried a few times, but then I go soft because I lost the erection every time, like, because what am I doing? I swear, I don't know. I will try. You know what? I got to try again, and I'll get back to you. But I absolutely don't know. I see on the photos, and on the photos is where you see the most. It looks like what it's supposed to be for porn, but I have never measured my cock. Well, and there's also another reason not to measure it. Nobody has a perfectly straight cock. Mine is slightly curved to the right, which makes having the camera on my left so much easier. But no, I've never measured it. Well, maybe like when I was a teenager, but I don't even remember what I found.
Well, listeners, stay tuned. For the next interview, you will get the answer to that. So yes, there you go.
Like, I got to do it. I got to
make sure. And I guess the next question that I have, you know, we talked about the cum shot a couple of questions ago. So I want to ask you, as the performer, what do you do to prepare for the cum shot? Okay. Do you do anything specifically to prepare when you know you have a scene coming up, when you know that you're going to have to cum? Do you do anything to prepare to make sure that it looks good for the camera?
You know, I'm going to be very, I'm going to brag about it, but you can ask anybody in porn that has worked with me. I'm not the guy that will get hard the fastest. I'm not the most flexible guy for position, but I can come whenever I want, and twice, three times. You know, it's one of the things I'm gifted with. It's so easy for me. I see some guys sometimes they will struggle for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 20 minutes. And it will never happen with me. It's the easy. I have a doctor friend who told me it's a matter of nerve endings. I'm quite, you know, it's, I actually have the opposite problem. Sometimes I struggle not to come prematurely. I'm very sensitive. So I have no trick. I have no special thing that I like to think about. If they ask me to do the cum shot, I do it. I just think of what I'm doing. If it's always something that is a good turn on. Like I was doing content with a girl. I came. We were doing a tit job, tit twank, like they say in the UK. Cubana in Spain, they call it. But yeah, it was so easy for me. I was just looking at my cock between her tits and just came. So yeah, I am a guy that comes very easily. So I don't have tricks. It just comes.
What I want to do now is to, basically I'm going to name a couple of the productions, the websites that you have been on or the production companies that you have worked with. And I just want to get your general thoughts on working on those sets and that sort of thing. Just a general take on your experiences with those productions. So the first one that I want to discuss is, you know, something from very early on in your career in France, the website Jackie et Michel TV.
Yes. Yeah. I have a lot of things to say about Jackie et Michel. It started, if you know about the history of Jackie et Michel, it started as some girl next door type of porn, which is totally fine. I like that. I like it's an amateur format, and I love shooting amateur porn. Well, first of all, because it's good to be lazy. Sometimes it's easy. It doesn't mean it's shitty when you say it's easy, but the scenes are not long. There's no hardcore pictures. It's gonzo. It's not as demanding as real professional porn. So yeah, I have really good fond memories of working with Jackie et Michel. The trouble and the charm of working with Jackie et Michel is that you work with amateur girls. I say amateur in the way that they will just do a few scenes and probably not have a career later on. And that's also the problem of Jackie et Michel. It's the girls that do Jackie et Michel. Sometimes they will not be as professional, and they may regret later, and that's why Jackie Michel had problems recently. But I think they remove the scene whenever a girl asks, even if she signed the papers. But yeah, it's when you work with Jackie Michel, it doesn't always, the image isn't so nice in France because they've been in many scandals, and those scandals happen because of the format of Jackie et Michel. It can be problematic because it's all about convincing new girls to do some amateur porn, and it's also setting yourself up for problems because they're not girls that have been shooting for many years and that are in the game. You know, it's complicated. Amateur porn is definitely like working on a minefield sometimes. And also the model of Jackie et Michel, because Jackie et Michel works with several small teams, and it's all about recruiting new girls, and they're all in competition. So that's one thing I dislike with Jackie et Michel. It's less the case now, but I don't think so. All the small teams, they hate each other and they stab each other in the back. And when you work for Jackie et Michel, sometimes the atmosphere between small teams, like different directors, can be so bad, and it's a pain in the ass. It's an interview. You want honest answers. That's the bad part about working with JM, and I hope it fucking ends this this atmosphere. To end this, maybe they should try to put less competition between the JM directors.
The next production that we have to discuss, whenever I interview anybody, especially a performer in the European scene, and they've done scenes for this production company, I always have to ask about it, just because I feel like they are so notorious. Like here in the US, you know, there's a huge fandom for them. I mean, they are provocative. They put the hardcore in hardcore. I feel like you know exactly to which production company I'm headed to. But for the listeners that may not know who I'm talking about, We have to talk about legal porno.
All right. So legal, I like working for legal porno. Porn is also about exploring. Everybody has some intense and dark fantasies, even women, especially women. And it is all about exploring those and playing, you know. When you look at the intros of legal porno, sometimes it is very nasty and it looks like it looks even wrong. There's blackmail, street harassment, but it's part of our fantasies, and we need, you know, to tame them. We need to own them at the same time, and everybody has those, you know, twisted fantasies. And we, if you're healthy and if you have good conscience, it's, you're fine playing with that. So yeah, I like that hardcore part of legal porno. I enjoy it. It's not a problem, but the one thing I don't really enjoy when I'm on the set with legal porno, it's the very acrobatic positions that you need to do. But at the same time, it is what makes you good. When you can pull that shit off, everything, all the rest is easy. So yeah. That's my overall legal porno experience.
I also have to ask you about the fake taxi.
Fake taxi I shot only once because it's organized by a company that makes you shoot a few scenes. And so I don't know fake taxi much because I shot only once. What can I say about fake taxi? It's fun to do, of course. It's fast. It's a fast job. It's simple porn. They've been doing that for years and it works. So yeah. But apart from that, the actual scene, yeah, it was regular porn. You're kind of cold because you get a picture that the door is open because there's a cameraman shooting you from the outside. I remember it being kind of cold, but the girl was awesome. Zuzu sweet, really awesome. But yeah, I don't know fake taxi that much. Because I just did one shot for them.
Another production company that you've done a couple scenes with, and it kind of ties into a question that I asked you earlier. You've done some scenes for the website Girls Rimming. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, real fun. Yeah, it was awesome. I would probably do a few more. There's always a nice, it's a good team overall. And we get back to the rimming. It's porn about rimming. So it's fun to get rimmed. But when you do the girls rimming, it's a little bit long because the accent on rimming is important for this production. But it's always a good experience to shoot with these guys. Very professional team. But it's not about the team. It's about the... No, this should... I don't have any... I mean... I really enjoy working with those guys. And the rimming part is kind of long sometimes. And it's getting rimmed a few seconds by a girl is fine. But like you're in your head upside down in a sofa getting rimmed for like several minutes in a scene, it's a bit strange. It's like I like to be a natural guy and it's not something I will do in my private life. So. But overall, I love working with those guys.
Outside of the productions that we've just discussed, I mean, you've been doing a lot of incredible work, and you've been getting a lot of work with Porn World and Private and you know, those major companies in Europe. What I want to ask you, though, is, are there any companies that you haven't worked with yet that you would love to shoot with in the future? Because I don't believe you've ever done anything for Vixen or Tushy, that sort of family websites. Like, I feel like you would fit in perfectly there.
Yeah, sure. I've been in, I've met some Vixen people. And you know, it's Vixen, Tushy. It's like the real, it's premium stuff for sure. And I think they have a lot of people chasing them. So I'm doing my homework with the like some other top premium companies like Palm World, Penthouse, and hopefully those Vixen and Tushy things will come on the way as well. For sure, I would love to work with those guys. the stuff they do, it's really aesthetic, and I love. We all love those shoots. I love to be one of these days part of those. Yep.
What I want to do now is sort of switch up the tone of the interview just a little bit and talk about some of the more serious issues as a performer in the adult industry. And so the first question in this set that I want to ask you is, are there any misconceptions or myths about porn performers that you would like to dispel?
Misconceptions, myths. What can I say? You mean the guys and the girls alike, of course. One of the questions that you always get when you start into porn, all your friends will ask you, do the girls actually enjoy what's going on? And my answer is always the same. You can never know, and it's the same as in private life. Women, they hold the secrets. You never know if they're actually enjoying. You never know. They can fake it. And in porn, sometimes they fake it really bad, but sometimes they can fake it really good. And it's very difficult. So it's a secret that I don't really know about. I don't know if I cannot prove there's a misconception about this. People have misconceptions about the porn life. About I think, you know, not everybody is the same in porn. Some girls are different. Some girls and guys alike are definitely sex maniacs. Oh yeah, for sure. Some of us become like. You know, they come home and they live a very boring lifestyle that I would call boring, but that may not be. So, what misconceptions? Oh, that the guys and the girls alike are like stupid bimbos. And yes, we have those. But in general, if you manage a career very well, it takes you're not just a bimbo. You're not just anybody. It takes, there's a wide array of skills that you need to be a professional porn performer. And usually the guys and the girls that you see getting the good jobs, they're not bimbos. They're not stupid meatheads.
Is there an aspect of the industry? Is there an aspect of the adult industry that you do not enjoy?
An aspect of the adult industry that I do not enjoy. Really, like I've said, I've been feeling awesome about being in the porn industry. I can't really express how much I love being in there. Things I don't enjoy, of course, it's part of the game. It's tiring sometimes, but it's part of the game. All the little, rivalries and the shitty little wars between companies. Yeah, sometimes it's boring, but it's good to gossip about it as well and just make fun of everybody involved. But overall, yeah, it gets tiring at the end. But it's, you know, I think it's the case in every industry. I'm sure, you know, you in a major city, in a small town, there's the main street and you have two pizza guys and they will probably start, one of them is going to start shitting on the other as well. And it's, yeah, but the problem in the porn industry is when you get along with one guy, but he's the enemy of one of your other friends, and then you will get dragged into the shit between those, and that's the problem of the porn industry to me, really, because there's no way to avoid all of those wars and rivalries between people.
Speaking of that, it was almost like you're prescient, because this does lead me to my next question. In your opinion, as someone who I feel like you still consider yourself almost like a fresh face in the industry. You know, you've been working in it for, you know, seriously for about a year and a half, and you've been getting a lot of scene work. But as someone who's still kind of new in the industry, is there any competition amongst performers in the industry, whether you feel like you're competing with the other performers, or, you know, maybe you feel like people are trying to compete with you? Have you noticed competition among your fellow male performers?
Oh, yes, definitely there is. But not always, but let's say, you know, it's very simple. If it is in a small community like France, Jackie and Michel, or, you know, a director is booking three guys for a nice shooting, it's going to be three guys. So it's you or the other one. And yes, there is some competition. To get the edge over the other guys, it's all about... of course, it's about being good, but it's also about knowing the right people, making the right connections. And some guys use their girlfriends to get picked by a production. And yes, there are some rivalries, but I think if you obsess about the other guys, it's a loser thing, because it shows that you're not confident. And to me, it's all about being the best version of yourself, and then the good work is going to come. But of course, there will be competition sometimes.
Let's talk about dating while working in the industry. Full disclosure for the listeners, I don't know if you're dating. I don't know if you're in a relationship. So it's up to you how much you want to divulge in regards to that. But I'm just asking sort of generally, when it comes to dating as a performer in the industry, is it difficult to date while doing the work that you do?
Well, it's not hard to meet new girls, because some of them will be curious and excited about it. I have a Tinder profile, and I do not mention explicitly that I am a porn performer, because most of the matches I will get then will be curious girls. I just want to ask questions, but it's not going to come from a real place of interest. Dating is, meeting your girls is kind of easy. If you want to date girls more regularly, see them for a longer while, it's kind of difficult, of course, because they may, yeah, of course, just jealousy involved. It's perfectly natural, and they say they're fine with it at the beginning, but then you realize they're not. It's good to date within the industry as well, but you know, actually the same shit happens. They, on both sides, people pretend they're fine and they're doing the same thing, so they understand, but they get jealous, and they, so it's just a different, it's the same game. The rules are the same, but it can be a little more challenging if you want to date on the medium term. On the long term, I don't know. Maybe after a while, everybody cheats anyway. So after a while, people will get, people that stick together despite the porn, I think they're strong couples. But on the medium, over a few months, it is quite challenging. And yes, I'm completely single. I've been seeing girls here and there, but it becomes problematic for them after a while, for sure.
Let's move away from the serious stuff and let's focus back on you. And the next thing that I want to pick your brain on is your OnlyFans. I know that that isn't your focus right now. You are more focused on shooting with the major production companies and the major studios, but you do have an OnlyFans and might as well share a little bit with the listeners about what they can expect. So can you share with the listeners basically, you know, what type of content they can find on your OnlyFans?
All right. I have an OnlyFans, and yeah, I usually upload some of the content I do with girls, some sex tapes, as I like to market them as sex tapes, because OnlyFans is about, it's more social media than regular porn. They want to connect more with the intimacy. So I say sex tapes, and they are in a way, because there's usually no cameraman. We shoot it with a tripod, or if there's a cameraman, it's not fancy work. I also like, when I get the time, shoot photos. I have some photographers sometimes that want to collaborate with me. So I put a lot of photos like this on my OnlyFans. On OnlyFans, like I said, it's not my main focus, because if you really want to work your OnlyFans, it's a full-time job. Like the guys that make, all the, and the girls that make real money with OnlyFans, it takes so much commitment, and I don't have that commitment. I will upload a selfie, like every day I will post something. Maybe not every day, at least two or three times a week. And once a week I will post like some sex tape, as I like to say. But like I said, you cannot chase two rabbits at the same time. You know, it's already. I get some money from my OnlyFans, but I'm sure I could make more. But it is a big investment.
Tell me something quirky about yourself that most people don't know. Something unique about Emmanuel Torquemada.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing that some people know. It's some people only know it. I like to market myself to productions as a former high school teacher. I was a high school teacher for 10 years. And I was teaching in high school. I started in 2010 and stopped in 2020, actually. But it's quite surprising in the porn industry.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yes.
I've had tons of odd jobs as well. I was a bouncer. Actually, I was doing that as a student, and I kept on going as a high school teacher. I was a bouncer on weekends as well. It kept me, it was a way to keep me from going out. That was deep down, that was the main motivation, because I was not a party animal, but I did go out. And, you know, when you go out on your own or with friends, you spend money, you don't sleep enough. So at least I was like, okay, do the same thing, but do it, get paid for it. Same logic as the sex. Not exactly, but you get the idea. So I was a bouncer for a while as well, every weekend throughout my 20s and early 30s.
Describe yourself in 10 words or less.
Well, a real stand-up guy that enjoys the good life.
Very nice. I love that you made a sentence. It's the teacher in you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's very nice. I like it. All right, so as we start wrapping things up, I have this list of pop culture-oriented questions that are designed to allow the listeners and your fans to get to know some of your favorites. So the first question in this set is, what are five of your most favorite television shows?
Definitely True Detective season one. I've watched that one like so many times. The second one will be The Wire, which I'm rewatching these days. Then I will mention Oz. When I was watching it as a teenager a lot, HBO as well. The Sopranos, since we're on HBO. And I will say for the fifth one, Twin Peaks.
A classic. I mean, all of the ones that you mentioned are classics. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a very good list.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I mean, the stuff that is quite recent and popular, I like. Yeah, the stuff I like, but not that I really love, like the one I've mentioned to you.
Who are four of your all-time favorite music artists?
I will say Typo Negative, Nine Inch Nails, I will say Klaus Schulze, who was making porn movies, movies for porn at the very beginning. And the fourth one, I will say, the fourth one, right? Did I mention Pink Floyd?
What are three of your most favorite films?
Blue Velvet, Blade Runner, and The Shining.
What are two foods you can't live without?
Pasta. I'm a big pasta guy. I cook fancy pasta. I make crazy sauces. And something I can't live without. That's a strong statement. Dark chocolates. I forgot mine at the studio, so I'm pretty pissed off. So, because I'm moving, I'm sleeping in a different place tonight. But dark chocolate for sure.
And what is one of your guilty pleasures?
Oh, I jerk off too much, even when I'm not. I fuck a lot. I'm a sex addict. I'm a real sex addict. So yeah, there's fucking, there's everything with sex. I'm a nutcase sex addict, and I'm using it in a positive way with porn.
What are you currently binging? What are you currently binge watching? I know that you referenced that you're rewatching The Wire. Is there anything else that you're binge watching at the moment?
Something else I will be binge watching. Binge watching, like you mean a TV series, right?
Yeah, usually that's what it means.
That will be True Detective, like season one. And I've been, I share a Netflix password with a girl, and the only thing that I can watch on Netflix is Better Call Saul.
What is next for Emmanuel Torquemada? What's coming up for you? What's going to be released soon? What can you discuss? What can the listeners expect from you in the near future?
So in the near future, I will keep working for the labels that I like to work with these days, which are mainly Porn World, Pierre Woodman, Jackie et Michel, because I still work a lot with Jackie et Michel, but with the professional side, they call it Elite. Some more. I will try to get work with new companies. I would love to work more in Spain, but it's I don't know. I haven't been able to because I'm most of my network is in Budapest right now, and that's pretty much it. I'm trying to really get more and more nice work in porn. This is all about that, finding. I like to work. I'm busy enough right now with, especially with Porn World. But if I can get a couple new labels to work with me within 2024, that will be great. But I mean, what I'm doing now is what I want to keep on doing for at least the next few months.
How can your fans reach you? Where can they find you on the web, social media, your OnlyFans, all of your important information, all of the important links on where they can get to you directly?
Well, they can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Oh, okay. Instagram is about posting pictures that are work-related. Sometimes I put something more personal, but I rarely do, like something I'm doing that is not supposed to be part of porn. Twitter, it's mostly about retweeting what I do with porn, like when new scene comes out, when a new podcast comes out. OnlyFans is about direct messaging. It's about, for my fans, it's where I, because I'm not putting a whole lot of new content on OnlyFans, but I do reply, and I get interesting conversations with OnlyFans from time to time. It's mostly about about that for me nowadays. So yeah, definitely OnlyFans. And for work inquiries, but this is not for fans, definitely Twitter, and then we move on to emails or WhatsApp.
So can you share with the listeners exactly how they can find you on Instagram,
of course,
and OnlyFans? No worries.
Instagram is Torquemada, like the Spanish Inquisition guy, but with four A's, which is Torquemada, A-A-A-A at the end. Twitter is called Straight Addict, no underscore, Straight Addict, but the dick in addict is D-I-C-K, like dick, because I've been working on a website at some point with a friend of mine called Porn Addict. It was at the very beginning, but we're still going to upload the same stuff as I put on my OnlyFans, but maybe on a website. But it's anyway, it's maybe in a few months. And the OnlyFans is also Straight Addict. And yes, that's it.
Well, this does bring us to the end of our interview. Is there anything that you would like to say to your fans and supporters that are tuning in?
Well, stay tuned, because only good things are, good things are coming, and it's really, I'm going through a very exciting period of my life, and I'm really happy to see that some people want to participate and jump on the bandwagon with me, and it's, such a fun ride so far. And that's pretty much it.
Well, I certainly want to thank you so much for the interview, Emmanuel.
Thank you, buddy. It was a pleasure to be on the show.
You're welcome. I'm glad you had a good time. And certainly the door is open for more. Whenever you want to come back to update the listeners on what you've been up to, you have an open invitation.
There will be some new stuff. There will be some new exciting stuff in the coming months.
I love that. I love a good tease. That's fantastic. I'm super excited for you. And of course, listeners, I also want to thank you for tuning into One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Before we go, here's our announcer to remind you on how you can interact with us.
Thank you for downloading One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Here are a few helpful reminders. For more information on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo, visit poppychuloradio.com/afterdark. Follow Poppy Chulo on Twitter at twitter.com/poppychulo1on1. That's at Poppy Chulo. The number one. The word on. And the number one. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/poppychuloradio. Do you have any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns? Email us via contact@poppychuloradio.com. Are you interested in joining the Poppy Chulo Radio team as an on-air personality? Email talent@poppychuloradio.com. Binge listen to your favorite Poppy Chulo Radio programs by visiting poppychuloradio.com/archives. Back to you, Poppy Chulo.
Thanks, announcer. And with that, Emmanuel Torquemada and I would like to wish you and yours a wonderful night. Good night, listeners.
Good night, guys.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. To contact us with any of your questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, email us at contact@poppychuloradio.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/poppychuloradio. And like us on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Be sure to listen again next week as we continue to showcase exclusive interviews with some of the adult industry's most popular male performers. This is Ben Patrick Johnson saying good night and have a wonderful week.